Pray with me, Father. We've joined together today as those that have trusted and believed in the name of Jesus. And yet we recognize today your lordship. We recognize today your power. We recognize today your purpose in our life. We recognize today your grace. We lift high the name of Jesus. We lift high his name today. Thank you. Thank you for loving us. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Yeah, I love that drama. And I don't know what it is about it. Maybe it's something that maybe we all can relate to a certain degree. Why is it that Sunday mornings happen to be perhaps the most difficult time of getting out of the house and getting everybody ready and getting on the road? But perhaps it's just the culmination of all of the adventure of the previous week of trying to get out of the house and to get onto the road. Well, today I want us to talk about honoring relationships. And in our family series about family matters, I want us to dig into this whole idea of what it means exactly to honor. Well, what does it mean for a husband to honor his wife? What does it mean for a wife to honor her husband? What does it mean for a child to honor his or her parent? What does it mean for a parent to, yes, honor their child? Probably as a basis to have a discussion about honoring, we would have to look at a passage of Scripture found in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And the passage reads this way: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. If we were to read this in another way, we might read it in this fashion: that we must be in a state of consistent, constant action of commitment to love each other. And we must value one another more than ourselves. The word honor literally means to value. It means to place great worth upon. It means to place some sort of value, this value of the relationship, the value of purpose, the value of life. It means to value that person. And in context with Romans here, to value them more than yourself. Now, think about this. How do we actually value somebody? We can speak well, we can provide for them, we can listen, we can protect, we can encourage, we can challenge, we can love, we can forgive, we can care. We can spend time. The idea of honoring is that I value you and I place value in your life. So the idea would be for a parent to a child would be that the parent would value the child. For the child, it would be that the child would value the parent. For the husband, it would be that he would value his wife, and the wife, it would be that she valued her husband. It means to place great worth upon that person and that relationship. So what is it exactly? What is this stuff called honoring? It means to value. But the question becomes, If we're supposed to value, we're supposed to honor, how are we to honor? How do we go about actually honoring? I mean, demonstrating how we honor each other. How do we do that within the family unit? For example, we read passages of Scripture, like in Ephesians chapter 6, in terms of the child. And maybe, let me phrase it this way. Let's think of honoring in terms of the seasons. In seasons of life. And to think of it in terms of seasons and stages of life. See, it's always perplexed me. How do you carry out this idea of honoring or obeying your parents? For example, Ephesians 6:1, as a child says, children. And don't you know, I think this is probably the most quoted passages of Scripture from a parent to a child. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. God said this. For it's right. Or maybe we go to Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents. Oh, we love this, don't we? In everything. For this pleases the Lord. Not only is it right, but it pleases God. Don't just obey, but obey in everything. So I want for you to think about how we do this, how we honor as a child to a parent in terms of the seasons, the stages of life. As a child, there is a unique aspect to our obedience to our parents. When the Bible says to obey in Ephesians 6 and in Colossians 3, this verb for obey is in the imperative. It means that we are to do as one says and to carry out one's orders. So we are given this objective as a child. As a child, we obey our parents because it is right and because it is pleasing to Him. Now, I want you to think about the term obedience for a moment. And I want to chase a rabbit with you for a second because I think it's in the context of what we're talking about. Sometimes we need to really grasp this whole thing of obedience. In fact, I want for you to equate the word obedience to worship in a way. For example, when we are obedient, we revere the one in which we're being obedient to. For example, in life, when you're obedient to Christ's calling and God's word, when you're being obedient to Him and following in obedience, you are worshiping God, you are revering Him. And so the idea of the power of obedience and the power of living well and obeying the instructions that we've been given speaks of respect and honor and value for the parent. So when I think of the stage of life, I think of the stage of life as a school-aged child. That when God's word says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. God didn't offer it as a suggestion, but it was literally as a command. Now, some of you may ask this question. Well, Brad, what if a parent tells a child to do something that is illegal or inappropriate? And do they have to do it? I mean, if your parent told you that I want you to go down to Wawa and I want you to go steal me a roast beef sandwich pre-made in the deli rack, you say, well, doesn't it say to obey your parents? If your parent is asking you to do something contrary to the Word of God, there's another command that supersedes this. and really found in Acts chapter 5, specifically with Peter, where it says that it's better to obey God rather than men. But if your parent is telling you to do something you don't like to do, but it is not morally or ethically wrong, like clean up your room, you obey. Because it is right. It honors the Lord. It reveres your family. It reveres and honors and values your parent. It is right. It pleases the Lord. See, Proverbs 1:8-9 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching, for they are garlands of grace around your head and a chain to adorn your neck." See, honoring looks like this. As a child, obeying your parent is following their instruction, their godly instruction. As you turn into the teenage and the young adult years, this thing called obedience, this thing called honoring your parents, is about showing respect to them, valuing them. I like this. Even when you think you know more than they do, valuing them. Do you see, it's so interesting. As a child is much faster, it's quick to obey. As you move into the younger adult, in the teens, in the older teens, in the, and because I've been there, I know this, it's about valuing, it's about respecting your parents. So as a child, we see that we are to obey our parents in everything. We are to do this because it pleases the Lord and it's the right thing to do. But what about the adult years? As an adult, what does honoring look like? How do we honor our parents as an adult? Because, you know, here's the thing. When you're out of the house and you're making your own money, and you've got your own job, and you've got your own responsibility, it doesn't mean that you come back and that you actually obey your parent. The same thing they told you when you were 7 years old, does it mean now that I'm 32 years old or I'm married and I have children, I have my own house and job and life, that I have to obey what they tell me? There are people that struggle with that. Because the Bible says that I'm supposed to honor my parents. I mean, God says that I'm to honor them. But look at this. Look at the distinct difference between verse 1 of Ephesians 6 and verse 2. Verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents." Children, obey your parents. But as you move into verse 2 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, it says, "Now honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth." As you move from early childhood through the teen years, from early childhood of obedience and obeying the instructions to early adolescent, the teen years and the young adult years, to respecting. As you move into adult years and as you're out of the house and as you're earning your own income and doing your own life and having your own responsibilities, honoring your parents looks like this, that you include your parent or parents into your life. You include them. It means that you engage them in conversation, that you include them on conversations, you include them in family outings, you include them in times together, you include them in the family unit. Do you see the progression? From a child to be obedient, to an adolescent, to an early adult of respecting, to a younger, an older younger adult, median adult, to inclusion, to including them. And then at middle age, you know, I hate that term, don't you? In middle age, the older years, How do you honor your parent? You care for them. If it's resources, if it's strength, if it's presence, if it's care, however that looks, that speaks to honoring your father and your mother. Again, I want you to see the stages, the progression, the seasons of life. That as a child, you obey the instructions as they pour in the instruction into your life. And as you respect them and their instruction in adolescence and early adulthood. As you move from that place to literally including them in your life, making sure they're a part of the routine of your family, of your life, to in their older years, to providing care for them. However that care, whether it's physical, material, but it's care. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What about parents? Adults are really good about talking about what children are supposed to do, don't we? But what about our responsibility to our children? The fourth verse in Ephesians 6 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Moms, you're included in the picture too. The idea of this word exasperate is to cause, to build anger and resentment. Parents, do not cause to build anger and resentment in your children. Anger towards God, anger towards what is right, resentment towards you, resentment towards God, resentment towards the church, resentment towards what is right, resentment towards living well. Parents, do not build in your children resentment. Instead, bring them up, raise them up in both the discipline and the instruction. The idea of providing discipline, not in the sense that you beat them or you put them in timeout, but that you bring and add into their life, literally, the discipline on how to live and to do and to be and to just exist in life. Bring them in the disciplines of life and the instruction. The Word of God. I was thinking about Delbert and his family this morning. Do you realize how fast a phrase could add resentment into a child's life? Don't worry, someday you'll be fat too. You're selfish. You know, when I think about the power of words, and there again, I mean, I've expressed this over again. I wish, if you're with me, do you wish you could take back some words you've spoken to people that you really love? Anybody in here ever say anything they wish they hadn't said before? Okay. Hey, this is our support group, right? It's great. We're going to sing Kumbaya when we finish today, and we'll be fine. But it is, the reality is our words, and I find this interesting because, you know, the idea of building anger and resentment, I'm responsible for my emotions. I'm responsible for how I respond. I'm responsible for whether I get angry or not. But the idea is, if a parent knows the buttons that push the child that cause them to respond with resentment and anger, and the parent continues to push the buttons in a way in which to get the message across, God's word says, don't be a button pusher. God's word says, discipline. Give them the disciplines of life and the instruction of God's word. Teach them to live life well. And this is important, because we read passages like, for instance, Proverbs 22:6, which says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Some of us interpret this verse a number of different ways. Some of us like to quote this in the fact that we have a prodigal in our home. I've trained them up right, and someday they're going to come back. While there is application there to that fact, I think the best way to look at this is to train up a child, discipline a child, instruct a child, lead a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it, because they've lived their whole life that way. Moms and dads, we have a huge opportunity to invest well into small minds. And when you see the season of progression, the children obey your parents, it's the responsibility that we have to raise kids well, so that they will learn to respect mom and dad even when they don't agree with them in adolescent, in early college years. And they will learn to include the early adult years and family years. And they will learn to care in the season years. See, when I think about honoring relationships, it's about valuing. It's placing a huge value on our spouse. It's placing a huge value on our child, our children. But why in the world should you do it? Why honor? Why honor? Because when we honor, there is a promise, a blessing. Remember Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. The word for well literally means to live out your intended purpose. That you've done something well, or you've lived out well, you've lived out your purpose. So think of it in context of this passage. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live well your purpose, that you may live out your purpose, because the purpose of your life in relationship to your father and mother is that we would honor them. That's God's intended purpose for the relationship. That life, His purpose, would be lived out, and it would be lived out well. And that you may live long on the earth, that you may live long and well in the places that God is giving you. God has an intentional purpose in us honoring our parents. He has an intentional purpose in us honoring our relationships within the family context. As we honor our parents, we are able to live well God's purpose in our life, because He purposed this for us. And at the same time, we are able to live in the places that God has given us. Do you know what it is to live purpose well and to live well? It means to have lived a life without regret. It means to live a life without regret. Do you know how sweet that is? You know, many of you know that I lost my mother several months ago back. And of the few things that I have done well in my life, I don't do many of them well, but I've done some. One of which I've done well, I believe, is to honor my mother. And that's about obedience, and that's about respect, and that's about inclusion, and that's about caring in the older years. Do you know I have not a single regret about that relationship? Not a single. There is nothing about I wish I would have said, because I said everything. I wish I would have done, because I did what I established to do. And it's wonderful to look back on that and to say there's no regret. Now, I want to put that application into the context of the whole family. Can you imagine, as you raise your children and as you send them out, you say to yourself, I have no regrets? As you celebrate 25, 50, 60 years of marriage, that you say, you know what, I have no regrets. See, honoring is about valuing the family and the relationships that God has placed you in. Do you know God has put you with some pretty cool people? He has. Look right around you. If you're with family today, just say, hey, you're cool. No. He has. He's put you with some good people. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to honor well. To honor well the relationships God has placed in your family. Husbands, value your wives. Wives, value your husbands. Or your husband, excuse me. Yeah, whew, that slipped. Kids, honor your mom and dad. Because there's value in valuing people. God says that you will live well my purpose in honoring, and that you will enjoy the things that I've placed in your life that I'm giving to you. This thing called long life isn't necessarily you'll have 100 years, but you'll live well in the years that He's giving you. Let us be a people that honor relationships, honor each other, one another. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for your word and how it speaks about honoring our parents, honoring each other in our relationships. Father, I pray that today you would help us to maybe learn a new way, a new season in which we honor. Help us to express value and appreciation. Help us to express worth to those that you have placed us in families with, because that is good. Lord, thank you for our families. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.